Okay.
This meeting is being recorded.
So this is the Writer's Mastermind, and Sandy Kachurik is my co-host, my co-mod, and welcome, Sandy. Now, I did make everyone a co-host, co-mod today because my computer keeps telling me that my internet is a little unstable. So that way, if I get booted out for some reason, one of you please let me back in. So
We're
that's
not letting you back
you're
in.
not letting me
No, I'm
back
kidding.
in. I get it. I
Who's
get it.
got the power now?
So you all have the power, with my magic wand, I gave you all the power. So anyway, we've been talking about just how we want our life to look, and we were sharing with Sherry. She just has done this amazing speaking tour. And how many spots did you hit total?
4 locations, 6 days.
Okay, so you had six speaking gigs in four different locations, and she is back with us
And
again. So
three
we're excited.
weeks.
Yeah, in how many weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay, so again, you can make it look however you want to make it look. We start our week every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Clubhouse with just a kind of a motivational call to whoever it's open to, whoever wants to jump on. And Ruth and I were on this morning with Sally, and it was quite informative. We're always talking about how we want our life to look, and it's very inspirational. I love Ruth always brings such great information to the table about relationships, and it's all about relationships at the end of the day. But today we're talking about writing and publishing. And so we started off, and I just kind of want to give an overview for everyone. We started off choosing our publishing route, and that was, a whole module that we did early on. And then we talked about editing your writing and then critiquing and beta groups. And I do want to toss out the Cincinnati Fiction Writers has their critique meeting tonight. And it's kind of fun. If you've never seen one or been in one, it's on Zoom. They're on meetup.com, by the way. You can go to meetup.com and you can look for the Cincinnati Fiction Writers to get the Zoom code. And they're on tonight at 7. And I love to see how they critique, and they are so supportive and they're so kind. And what they do is they'll take someone's manuscript, they'll read several pages of it, and then they go around the room and everyone that wants to, you don't have to, everyone that wants to gets to offer their critique of that particular manuscript. And I learned so much just listening to the critiques. It really helps my writing because I see what it is that some of these, I'll say, mature authors, what advice they're offering. And we did some of this at Sandy's workshop. And I'm telling you what, if you've not been to a writer's workshop or you're not tapped into a critique group, please do that if you're a writer and you want to publish, because it is so helpful to moving your writing forward. Anyway, after that, we talked about how to title and format, and then we talked about your book cover design, and then getting your publisher ready description, and then creating your book launch plan. So now today we want to talk about online retailers. So if you ever think that you're going to self-publish, today's module, and I'm going to show you exactly where to find it, today's module will be your blueprint on self-publishing. Okay. It gives you that perfect overview. And I don't know about you, but if you've never been into the publishing realm, you really don't even know where to start. And I see it so many times. I'm in a lot of writers groups now on Facebook, and I see such elementary questions where they're amazing writers, because again, it's two different parts of the brain. There are these amazing writers, and they've got their manuscript ready to go, and then they're like, now what do I do? They don't even know what question to ask. They're like, do I find an agent? How do you get published? Should I do a self-publishing thing? What's the downside to self-publish? And there's so much of that that it's hard to sort through. And if you just go out and search, you get all this information. And it's so hard to sort through it to know where to go next. And so I'm going to share my screen. And I am going to show you, see if I can find the right one. Okay, this is, of course, my homepage. For those of you that are in my Build a Better Business course, also know that I am combining my website and my school all on the same platform. And for those of you that don't know the story, the platform that I was on decided not to do websites anymore. So it forced me to take a look at what I was going to do. And I decided that I wanted to just use my teaching platform for the whole thing. So here across the top is, you can go to kathybinner.com or this Kathy Binner International Academy. They both point to this homepage. So either way you go, you're going to get this homepage. And then you can see the different lanes, and here's the authors and writers. And so if I go to the authors and writers, here is where we are, the course, and then we're in this mastermind right here, the Ohio Writers Guild Mastermind. That's what we're in this morning. And then if you go below that, this is the newbie bloggers free meetup, course only, the mastermind. So I'm going to click on the course because that's what I want to talk to you about today. But this is how you can find it. I want everybody to know how to find it. And so when you get into the course, this is, and I got to pass all my stuff here. This is what we were talking about, the topics covered, choosing a publishing route, editing, getting, you know, feedback, titling, formatting, designing, writing your book ready description, creating a book launch, and then publishing. So here is where we're at today, this publishing on online retailers. So here's what I want to talk about. Number one, you have to publish. You want to be published. So you're like, am I going to do it online myself, or am I going to actually find an agent and go the traditional route? And we talked on our very first session that you've got traditional publishers on one end, you have self-publishing on the other end, and you have a million and one hybrids in the middle. And they're not good and they're not bad. Now there are some scammers that are sprinkled in there, so be careful. You know, don't write a big check without vetting them and knowing that, you know, they're legitimate. But you have everything from pay us and we'll do the whole thing, to pay us and we'll teach you how to do the whole thing, to pay us and we'll do some of the thing, we'll do the editing and the uploading, but you get to do the rest. So there's all different variations in there. And you have to do your homework to decide where you want to land with your manuscript. But if you just say, I'm going to self-publish the whole thing, now you have to be the author. You have to be the editor. You have to be the book cover designer. Now you are going to be the publisher. If you're going to self-publish, it means that you're taking on the role as the publisher on top of it. And so you have to prepare your manuscript for digital publishing because you're going to have to upload it into something digital. You know, to self-publish, it has to get into a digital format. Does that make sense? So proper text formatting. Make sure your text is formatted in a way that's clean and organized. And again, you can research each of these little topics, like what is the proper font size? Should I indent my paragraphs? You know, how much margin should I have? These are all the things that you have to sort out. But if you can just pay somebody to do that. Now, here's what I'm here to tell you. The more you don't want to do, the more it's going to cost you to publish your book. And unless you go traditional, find an agent, and a traditional publisher wants to pick up your work. But even then, they're going to simply upfront the money to get you published. And they're in it to make money. So, you know, if your book doesn't sell, guess what? You're not going to get any royalties for a long time if you don't have a bestseller, because they've spent that upfront money. So if you want to bypass all that, you can spend the upfront money and pay somebody to do all of that. Now, for those of you that know me, you know that I have gone with Patricia Wooster at Wooster Publishing. And for a flat fee, all she needs is my manuscript. And she does the editing, the formatting, the uploading, and even helps in the marketing. So, you know, she helps in that whole process. And again, there's no right or wrong answer. But what happens if you get online and you start joining these writers groups, you're going to have folks that will poo-poo this whole self-publishing. You're not a real author if you're self-published. Or they'll go the other way and say, oh, I would never do traditional publishing because that's, you know, that's just, I'll never make any money that way because they own my stuff and I'll never, ever get to make any money. And so you're going to hear all different opinions on publishing. So you have to decide what's right for you. And that's the tough part is trying to decide where you're going to fit in. And you don't have to publish every single manuscript the exact same way. You know, maybe you do one self-publishing, maybe another one you do it a different way. You don't have to do every one the exact same way. And so again, starting off, proper text formatting. You have to have consistent fonts. You have to choose a font that's easy to read. And when you start to upload into some of these digital formats, they'll tell you what font they want you to put it in. They'll tell you what size they want it to be. So then chapter headings clearly indicate your chapter breaks. I had a girlfriend that uploaded hers, and she struggled with page numbers of all things. And a couple of you know her, Debbie, you do. It was Connie Spruill, and she wrote her first book, and she decided to self-publish. And she said, I'll never do that again. She said, I spent just weeks and weeks and weeks trying to get the gosh darn page numbers to come out right, because again, she struggled with that whole formatting process. So sometimes you can do all of it except the uploading. Maybe you're just going to pay somebody to say, I just want you to upload the book, you know, in the proper place, and then I'll do the marketing, I'll do the book signings, I'll back in, but you do the middle. You just upload it for me. So you have to remove unnecessary formatting, and I think this is where my girlfriend got in trouble. I think she was doing her space bar and trying to put her page numbers in, and she didn't let the actual system that she was uploading into format her page number. She was trying to format them, and I think that's where she got into trouble. I don't know that for a fact, but I suspect that she did not remove her unnecessary formatting, and I suspect that it kept picking up all of the space bars that she did. It looked great on her document, but it wouldn't upload into their formatting process as well. So standard fonts and readability, again, stick to standard fonts. Remember, your goal is to make your manuscript look nice and clean and professional. Then design an eye-catching book cover. The saying goes, never judge a book by its cover. But in publishing, guess what? We all judge the books by their covers. When we go to the bookstore, we do it. Everybody does it. You read the cover and you go, do I want to buy this book or not? And so when designing your book cover, it's crucial to create a professional and eye-catching visual. And again, we talked several modules back about designing book covers. And so when we did that, we even showed some examples, like if you have a horror type story, there's a standardized book cover that your readers are kind it kind of lets them know that this is a horror story or this is a romance story. And so there's certain elements that your book cover should always have. So again, we talked about that in another module, but you have to make sure that you have that book cover that attracts the reader that wants to read your work. So if you're not skilled in design, you can enlist help. Maybe you can do the whole thing except the book cover. Maybe that's the only thing you need to, as I like to say, farm out is the book cover design. But ultimately, your book cover is the first impression that your book makes. Then you have to obtain an ISBN and address any copyright issues. Now, an ISBN is an international standard book number. International standard book number. That's what ISBN stands for. And it acts as a special identification code for your book. It's unique series of numbers assigned just to your book, serves as its fingerprint in the world of publishing. And think of it as your book's personal passport to get out there. So it's incredibly handy for a couple of reasons. First, it helps with the distribution of your book. Publishers, libraries, retailers, they use it to keep track of your book's journey from the printing press to the bookshelf. And second, it's a superhero when it comes to sales tracking. It helps everyone know how well your book is doing in this big wide world. So, and a lot of bookstores will not even take your book if it does not have an ISBN. So some self-publishers, they just want to publish it on Amazon and just use the Amazon general ISBN. And that's okay if you're practicing, but if you really want to get some traction with your book, you want to have your own ISBN number. And you can buy those, so not to worry. We can talk about that. So when you're getting ready to publish your book, make sure you have an ISBN on your side. Lots of online retailers, the places where your book will be set up, they ask for that. So make sure that you have that. And then let's talk about copyright. Your book is your creative masterpiece, your brainchild. I don't know how many hours I have just in the first seven chapters of my mystery novel. But you know, it is your brainchild. You know, I mean, it's hard work writing a book. So you want to protect it. Well, that's where your copyright comes in. It's like an invisible shield that guards your work from anyone trying to copy or use it without your permission. So remember, register your book with the right authorities, and we can get more down into the weeds with how to do that. So in a nutshell, the ISBN gives your book its unique identity. Okay, and it helps with all of your tracking. And then your copyright is your superpower in protecting your intellectual property. Now, for those of you that know Cary Oberbrunner, he is doing the copywriting into, Sherry, help me out. He's doing the copywriting into the, how do I explain what Carrie's doing now? any help with that, Sherry? You're on mute.
Are you talking about his partnership platform that he has?
Yes, because with it, he is promising that he is electronically copywriting your material for you. And it yeah. saves it in a digital format so that no one else can copy it. Anyhow, that's his superpower right now, is that he is working on copyright. So look up Cary Oberbrunner if you're interested, but he does have a way to copyright that a lot easier and faster and less expensive than the traditional way of copywriting. Then you have to choose your online retailers. You're like, okay, where am I now going to put my book? So when it's time to put your book out there, you have to choose the right stage. It's like choosing the perfect spot to showcase your masterpiece. So here is the scoop. Start by looking into online retailers that match your book's style and the readers that you're aiming to reach. Think of it as finding the perfect place where your book's vibes match the crowd's groove. So some big names you might want to check out: Amazon Kindle Direct, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble Nook, Kobo Writing Life. They're all like cool hangout spots for your book lovers. Each platform has its own style, audience, and rules. Now, I will tell you, Amazon is huge. And so that seems to be everyone's first go-to, is they want to be on Amazon. When you're uploading onto the Kindle Direct Publishing, pay attention to the questions. Because as you're uploading, Kindle will start asking you questions. Do you want 70% royalties? Do you want 30% royalties? Do you want, and click on the little question mark and find out why someone would choose 70, why someone would choose 30, because they get more rights with some, you get more rights with some. Make sure that you read the question and that you understand what they're asking you when you're uploading into Amazon, so that you don't give away the baby, you know? So you have to pay attention. So there's a catch in every platform. It has its own entry ticket. It's not just about setting up shop. You have to follow the rules. They all have a different submission process. So it's like learning a new dance. This is where a lot of us at this point, and this is what I see online in my Facebook writing groups, they all go, I don't want to learn all those dances. I just want to pay someone else to do that part. I don't want, and Connie, my girlfriend, she goes, I'll never do that again. I'll just pay somebody to do that. So just so you know, there are options. You don't have to wear all the hats. You can pay somebody to do just a part or a piece of this. Okay. And then let's not forget the royalties. And that's where, again, you have to read, and when you're saying yes, 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 as you're uploading, make sure you click the buttons that you're okay with. So different platforms offer different royalty structures. Some give you a bigger slice of the pie, while others have different ways of dishing out the rewards. So just be sure that it's acceptable to you. So when you're deciding where to publish, do your research. Check out the online retailers. See which one fits your book's personality and your reader's taste. Dive into their submission process, formatting rules, and of course, those sweet royalties. Once you find the perfect match, you'll be ready to let your book shine on the right stage. Now, format your manuscript for the digital publishing. When it comes to publishing your book on different online retailers, think of it like getting your artwork ready for various galleries. Each gallery has its own preference for how they display. And in the world of books, that preference is all about file formats. So you see, ebooks have a special language they speak, and different online retailers understand different dialects. The most common ebook file formats are EPUB, Mobi, and PDF. It's like speaking French, Spanish, and English. Each has its own nuances. I know it gets confusing. I get it. Now that your manuscript might be all polished and ready in one format, but now you need to change the format because you want to upload it in a different online platform. So you have to figure out what that other platform is asking you for. So this is where the magic happens. Conversion tools and formatting software. Let the software that we have out there do the work for you. So these are like language tutors. They help translate your manuscript into the right format for each of those retailers. You feed them your polished manuscript, and they give you back a version that's perfectly dressed for the occasion. So, for example, you would create your format and you would choose one of those software programs that's going to upload into maybe five different online retailers. Then you only have to format the way that platform wants you to format. You only have to choose that way, size of margin, size of font, size of spacing. You only have to learn one language and you upload it there and they make the change in all the other platforms. Okay. Now that doesn't come free. They'll usually charge, I don't know, 10% maybe of the sales because they're doing all the hard lifting. So again, you have to decide how much do you want to learn and how much do you want to take on and how much do you want somebody else to take on. So remember, the goal is to make sure your book looks its best on every e-reader out there. So use the tools to make the transition smooth. With your manuscript converted into the right formats, your book will be ready to enchant readers across all the digital galleries. Now optimize your metadata and keywords. Now we're thinking about how, now that we're uploaded, how are we going to market this masterpiece? Think of metadata as the secret code that helps readers find your book. In the bustling marketplace of online retailers, it's like the map that leads them to your literary treasure. So crafting your metadata is like creating a captivating trailer for your book. Start with a book description that grabs attention and tickles their curiosity. This is your chance to entice readers with a sneak peek into your story's world. Make it compelling, intriguing, and impossible to resist. And again, we in an earlier module, we talked about writing that overview of your book. So next up, choose categories and keywords that act like signposts directing readers to your book. Categories are like the different sections in a library. The keywords are the words that readers type when they're searching for something specific. So pick categories that match your book's genre and choose keywords that capture its essence. Now let's talk about setting the stage with a competitive price. Sometimes you have to do a little research and you have to just find the sweet spot for that online retailer. It's like finding the right ticket price for your blockbuster show. Research similar books in your genre and see what they're priced at. Your price should reflect the value of your book and appeal to those potential readers. When your metadata is well optimized, it's like your book waving a big, "Hey, I'm here" flag to the readers. It's your chance to stand out in the crowd and make a lasting impression. So a well-crafted metadata can give your book a boost in visibility and open doors to potential readers that you never knew existed. So make sure you are in the right categories. Then upload your book and cover. This is where authors struggle again because maybe they're not graphic designers. They're great at authoring their manuscript, but now they have to come up with a cover. So you've prepared your masterpiece, and now it's time to put it on display at the gallery. Each online retailer offers a special space just for you. It's kind of like a virtual gallery. We've all gone to Amazon and seen all the book covers, you know, in that particular genre that we're looking in. So when you're ready to showcase your book, these platforms provide an interface, kind of like an artist easel. Here's where you'll upload your manuscript and cover. But hold on, there's a catch. Think of it like setting up an exhibition. You want everything to be perfect. So follow the step-by-step instructions provided by the retailer. It's like following a recipe. Each step matters. Don't try to shortcut this one. Take your time to ensure your files are uploaded correctly. Check that your manuscript's table of contents is intact, chapter links work well, marked paths, images are placed. Imagine that your book is a delightful journey for readers. You want them to flip through the pages without a hitch. I don't know about you, but if I go somewhere and I run into a hitch in a a website or in a book, I have a tendency to go, okay, I don't have time for this. You know, we're all so crazy busy, and a lot of folks will kind of bail at that point. So give your manuscript and cover the attention that it deserves, because you want your readers to have a seamless experience. So review and publish. So now, before your book takes its grand stage on online retailers, it's time for a final curtain call. So the moment just before hitting the publish button, think of this step like the last rehearsal before the big performance. It's your chance to make sure everything is flawless. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're uploading digitally, you can always come back after you publish and you can hit the republish button. But trust me, it's harder to find and fix a mistake later. It's easier to fix it at the front end than it is to try to fix it at the back end. And let me say that again, it's easier to fix whatever you need to fix at the front end before you hit the publish button than trying to fix it at the back end after you've hit the publish button. Okay, so it's your chance to make sure that everything is flawless. Online retailers have a nifty tool that's like a backstage mirror. This tool lets you preview how you look, how your book will look to readers. We talk about this in our Build a Better Business on our websites and on our blog post. There is that preview button where you can preview what it's going to look like before you hit publish. And these retailers have the same thing. So imagine yourself as a meticulous director, ensuring that every scene is perfect before the big show. You'll want your readers to have an immersive and enjoyable experience. And once you've given your book the final once over and you're satisfied, you're ready to hit publish. With that click, your book is officially live online in the retailer platforms. So now you're ready to market. So now it's there. You've done all the work, you've birthed this masterpiece. So congratulations on your publishing, but it's like opening night. What good is it if there's no one in the audience? Okay, so now you have to market. So now is where you get on platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You share sneak peeks, behind the scene tidbits, engaging content that gets readers excited. And I just have one thing I have to share. I interviewed an author on our free authors meetup with the Ohio Writers Guild. Sandy and I co-host that together. And I interviewed a gal that she wrote a fictitious book, kind of a light romance. We call it a cozy romance. And she wanted to keep her readership active. She created a blog, and her characters are doing the blogging. Her characters in her book are continuing the story in a blog. How ingenious is that? And then she posted her blog on Amazon, and so her fans are following these characters on a blog. And I'm like, who knew? I would have never thought of that. So anyway, your author's website is like a stage where fans can learn more about you and your work. And that's where she not only has her book, but she has her blog that her characters are actually the bloggers. So make it inviting and showcase your book prominently. Book blogs are like trusted reviews, so reach out to them for reviews and features that can attract attention. And then online communities. I'm in a ton of writers' communities. Discussion forums, book clubs. It's where your book can spark conversations. So join in and share your insights, making sure to sprinkle in mentions of your book when relevant. Now, again, you can make your life look whatever you want it to look like. If you hate social media, then you may have to find another way to market your book. You may not want to be in these communities. I simply set aside a time every morning when I first wake up, before I even get out of bed. I have my phone, and the first thing I do is I go through, and my goal is to make 10 comments in 10 different groups that's relative to my courses and what I'm offering. And so every single morning before I even get out of bed, I scroll through and just comment. Somebody will say, oh, how do I blah blah blah, and I go, and again, I teach this over in our Build a Better Business. I say, well, I don't know about you, but as for me, I love that start sentence, because that way I don't come across sounding like you need to do this, you know, because they're thinking, well, who in the heck is she? And so I just say, well, I don't know about you, but as for me, what works for me is I like to blah 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 blah. And by the way, I have a course that I teach that. And that's it. It's just kind of a nice soft sale, if you will. And I don't get banned for, putting in the links and marketing in these groups, but I'm always adding value. And I try to do about 10 of those every morning. And it's just part of my routine. And as a matter of fact, I look forward to it because then the next morning, that comment that I made, I might have a thread of 20 or 30 people that commented on my comment. And there's this whole conversation going. And next thing you know, and this is where I want to tell everybody, make sure that your social media is up to date. You know, that profile section, make sure that you have some links there where if somebody is interested in your products, they can find you. I've followed some folks that have posted and I'm like, oh, I really like how this guy thinks. I like all of his answers. And then when I click over to his profile, there's no way to really connect with him. He hasn't filled out anything on his profile, and I have no way to connect with him. So make sure that you have your social medias up to date. And it's so easy to kind of let that slide if you're not huge into social media. But just make sure that folks can reach you there, and then just sprinkle your wisdom. Again, I do 10 a morning, so just a little side tidbit there. So remember, building a fan base takes time. Engage with readers by responding to reviews and comments. A loyal fan base is like your backstage crew supporting your journey and spreading the word. So as your book continues its journey, wear your marketing hat proudly. Use your social media, I can't even talk today, websites, blogs, and communities to create a buzz that's hard to ignore. Engage with readers, build connections, and keep the excitement alive. After all, your book deserves a spotlight that shines bright and far. So publishing your book to online retailers offers an incredible opportunity to share your story with a global audience. So follow these steps. This will be your guideline. So, any questions before we leave the material? And again, you can find this right in the course. It's included in your mastermind. So, you can scroll to the bottom of your mastermind and you'll see the link to come right over into the course and you'll find these steps right there. So, any questions or comments about any of the steps that we talked about? Sherry.
Comments, questions. I don't know. So I don't know if you guys are aware of this, that I've been writing a historical nonfiction about learning disabilities, as well as the stuff that I've already been working on. And so
Like you
I'm,
didn't have enough to do, Sherry. How do you find time?
well, that's why it's not done yet.
I know. I get it.
So I gave it to, well, I didn't, maybe you guys don't know this. My mother is a Bible historian.
I didn't know that. Good to know.
Yeah. So I gave it to my mom and I gave it to one of her friends who has been nothing but a champion for me since I published the first book. And I saw them yesterday at a party and I asked them, I said, "Did you get a chance to read that manuscript?" And she's like, "Sherry, you are just a genius. How did you come up with that?"
So you're pretty
So.
proud of this manuscript that you're working on.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
but that's coming from somebody who is a like non critic. So I need to get into that group that you have that has the critique in it to get an idea what they think as well. But she's like, it started out like I couldn't quite get what you were where you were going at first, but as soon as I figured out what you were doing, it was like, wow.
Well,
So.
good for you, because that gives you the green light that you're on the right path. So good for you. And I'm glad that you're reaching out early in your manuscript, because sometimes we need those kudos to keep us moving forward. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's the stories, and Ruth and I, we talk about this quite a bit. It's the stories we tell ourselves. We start telling ourselves, ah, this isn't very good. Nobody's gonna like it. What am I even, what, who do I think I am to even do this? Blah, blah, blah. And we start convincing ourselves that this isn't gonna work. So, again, that's another whole conversation. You have to find ways to stay motivated and to keep moving forward. And an accountability partner seems to be my best advice on that. Having
Yeah.
accountability partner that can kind of hold your feet to the fire. And again, I like to use a little bit of humor in one of my Facebook groups. The girl is like, oh my gosh, I finished my manuscript like 2 years ago, and I just keep tweaking it and tweaking it and tweaking it, and I just don't know when to say that it's perfect enough. And somebody said, yeah, you need an accountability partner. And I added in and I said, yeah, not only do you need an accountability partner, but you need one that will wrestle that manuscript out of your hands on a good, healthy deadline. You need to say by, you know, September 1, I'm going to be done with this. And then you need to have somebody that says, all right, give it up. It's September 1, you're done.
That's right. Yeah,
Yeah.
I understand that. And with Math Disconnected, John Lee and I are I've been, actually been flirting with the idea of our own publishing company, and rather than using somebody else. So Deck Publishing is in the works. So DEC,
Cool.
Daughter Educational Consulting.
I love
Nice.
it. I love it. You know what? When somebody asks you a question 3 times, you probably need to put together some sort of a course or something to do it. And I bet people are saying, Sherry, how do you get published? And you're like, oh, let me help you with
Not right now. Also,
that.
I'm gonna say, go to Kathy.
But you could do that. You could, because once you know the ropes, see, once you get on the repeat the rinse and repeat cycle, it gets a lot easier. It's those first times through are the hardest. And once you do it a few times, then you're just on the rinse and repeat. And I teach this in my real estate all the time. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, how can you handle 26 doors? Well, 26 doors isn't any different than one. It's just once you learn how to handle it, you're just on a rinse and repeat cycle after that. And so you'll get there. Yep, you'll get there with what you're doing. Yes. Any other comments, questions?
I like the idea, Sherry. You said, who did you share your book with? Your manuscript?
My mom, who is a Bible historian, and a friend of hers from her church.
Okay. And they're likely, they may be the audience you're hoping will buy your book. So,
Actually, no, they're
no.
not. But
Okay.
it was just a because it was a Bible, it's based on a Bible story, I wanted to reach out.
Yep. Okay, because sometimes even if it's the neighbor next door who likes to read the material, that kind of genre that you're writing, they're always, it's like, well, yeah, they're the ones I'm trying to get in the bookstore or online or on Amazon. So I sounds like green lights all the way around. So continued good work.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And again, it gives you a nice boost, Sherry, because you know that these gals know their stuff. And so when they say, hey, how did you come up with this? This is pretty cool. It just gives you a boost. You know, that'll keep me going for another couple of months.
Yeah, and you know, there's something, books have blurbs, and you'll see it like Stephen King says, by all means, read this book or whatever. Maybe if your mom, if she has a different last name in particular, if she wants to write like a little bit of an, a little signature in there saying, and then so and so, Bible historian, oh, that's a little bit of a, that might be a good spot. She doesn't have to say, my daughter made me say this. Don't put that part in.
That idea, Sandy. That's great.
So, yeah, use them by all means.
Yeah, I love it. Yes, Debbie, comment.
Jerry, what is the background, or what is it about the manuscript?
The historical fiction.
Yes.
It's about the Book of Esther.
You've been
And
talking about
Esther is
this for some time.
Esther is a teacher of learning disabilities who gets obviously abducted and turns into being queen, but she's also a businesswoman because of her upbringing with Mordecai. He has taught her how to read, write, do math, and be a business person because of him be, I mean, that's where he came home to, was her. So we talk about work to the kid, you know. So because of her upbringing, it was a very unusual Jewish homestead.
I
And
would be very
Sherry has,
interested in reading it
well,
because
Sherry
my
has
mom's
woven this
I
theory
didn't hear
throughout
that,
her
Debbie.
business.
The what was that, Kathy?
Sherry has woven this whole Esther over theory in throughout her business.
Mm-hmm. I would, yeah. The reason I would really like to read that, because my mom's name was Esther, and she was named after Esther in the Bible, and same as me. But I don't know. I've been, this year has been a complete new journey for me with the Bible. And I've been reading the Bible every day for, I'm doing it for a year. So my past experience and what I've been learning and growing with, in fact, I have, this week is my last week for discipleship deep dive at church. And I've just learned so much that it's unbelievable. And there's a lot of things that I have like, wow, you have no idea that even happened, or how and why. So I would be very interested at any point that you might want to share it with me. And I have a very dear friend who actually is a Bible theological teacher. And she in September is going to start teaching me, and I'm very excited about that. So this is a huge journey for me, and I'd really be interested in reading that. And well, thank you. And the other reason why, what? Go ahead.
Finish.
Probably the other reason is because I'm looking at all the information I can find about Deborah in relation to her in the Bible. And that's not very, it's not popular out there, or very, I don't know, but I would, just like to see how you did that.
Sure. The only hesitation I have with sharing with you is your manuscript done yet, girl?
No.
You don't get mine until yours is done. There's your accountability.
So what do you want me to do?
You need to finish your book first before I share with mine.
Okay. All right.
I love it. I love it.
And you're right.
Yeah. Ruth, how about you? Any comments about the conversation today? I think Ruth might be multitasking. We'll give her a second, see if she's there. Or just listening, maybe. Here she is.
Yeah, I'm listening. The thing in mopping floors. Isn't that exciting?
No, I love it. I love it. You're multitasking and listening in. So any comments about the conversation about self-publishing or Sherry's manuscript or accountability partners, anything at all, according to our conversation?
No, I think it's all good.
Now, for all of us that are on the call, I have a book published, but I was in a collaborative book effort where I just did a chapter. Sherry has, how many books published, Sherry? One or two? Or more? Two. Three. Okay, so Sherry's got three. And Ruth, how many?
One.
One for you. And Sandy, how many books do you have published?
Two standalone books and in a couple of anthologies.
Okay. And Debbie is in the middle of her first manuscript. And Debbie, how many chapters are you in so far?
Five
chapters in. Okay. Yay. All right. So you can see where we're all making a go of this. So as you go to the bookstores, you see the hundreds of thousands of books online on Amazon, and there is a place for all of them. There is a place for all of them. They all matter. Their message matters. And I'm here to tell you that the audience comes first and you writing the material comes second. Your audience is already out there. You don't have to write and then find an audience. Your audience is already out there. They're just waiting for you to finish your manuscript. So, and again, I'm pointing back to me. I read probably two or three books a week. And so as I'm reading, I'm always looking in my favorite genre. And so, yeah, so there is definitely room for mine out there because there are avid readers like me and for all the introverts of the world that are done peopling and are ready to settle in with their book. Mm-hmm. Sherry says, where do I have the time for that? Sherry, it's even better than that. I love my bed and breakfast when I'm back in Ohio. And I love doing the flipping of the rooms myself because I simply pop on an audiobook with my headphones and I can just every afternoon see I get about a 3-hour window to just listen to my audiobooks while I'm flipping the B&B, getting ready for new guests. So, so in a way, you could say that I get paid to read.
Very good.
So listening makes it more listening to books makes it much more logical in my brain. I cannot see you sitting at a light and reading for 2 hours.
Now, I believe it or not, I probably read an hour of actual reading on an electronic device. And then depending on how many guests I have and how often I have to flip the rooms, then I listen for 2 to 3 hours on an audio version. So yeah, I get a lot of reading time in and I'm constantly making notes because I'm always having these aha moments. So speaking of aha moments, what was your aha moment for today? And who came on first? I think Sherry came on. No, Debbie came on first. Debbie, what was your aha moment for today? Anything jump out or stand out at you today?
Well, the statement you just said about my audience is already out there. And you reminded me of that. And I'm going to make myself a little post-it. But basically is that this overview that you just went through, to me, I wrote down the different steps, and it's finally coming to me that this is what I have to look forward to. And it's in black and white. I have no questions. I mean, the answers are there. And a lot of people, they listen, but they're not comprehending. And I like the idea of, I've been reading a lot more lately for some reason, and but I like it. But the book that I've just finished has so many dog tails in it that of the notes that I want to go and write down. I don't know. I think it just went all over the place. But the point is that this is giving me in blue and white. This is what I have to look forward to. I have no questions, no hesitations, and I can do this. I can do it all.
Good for you. Yep. Just take it a small step at a time. Right. So you get to the end. Yes.
And then
yes.
I'll take my red pen and put a big check mark through it. And
there you go.
To me, that's always says victory.
Good.
Always. I learned that a long time ago. If you use a red pen, that means write victory.
Wow.
It's very rewarding.
Sherry, so. How about you? Any big aha moments that jump out at you?
I liked the character blogging idea.
Yes.
So we have 4 characters in Math Disconnected, and John Lee and I have talked about them on the podcast.
Okay.
All month. And so all month here in August, I am doing Monday through Friday on the podcast. It was a lot of work, but it's been very interesting watching the numbers shift. On my back-end analytics.
Shout out your numbers.
Hold on. So anyway, the character blogging, that's going to be interesting. Let's see if I can tell you quickly.
Well, even a ballpark, we'll be impressed.
Yeah, no, for this month alone, yeah, I'm impressed. For this month alone, I had 1400 downloads plus, and my overall downloads are up to 7972.
Can you believe that? Isn't that
Wow.
amazing? Yes.
Nice,
Good
nice.
job. Good job, Sherry. And see, so she's building that fan base. See, those folks are tapping in, and so it all works together. You know, the blogging, the podcasting, the writing, the website, it all works together. See, all of that and the social media, it all pushes your cart in the right direction. But I'll come back and say this. You have to decide at the beginning. Now you can change it, but you have to have a vision at the beginning what you want your life to look like. You don't want to get yourself so overwhelmed that
See
you
it
get
because of
burned
the
out and you
background.
hate it.
Hold
Yeah,
on a
you.
second. Let me get rid of the background a minute. So one other thing that I have done, let me get rid of the background a minute. Because
Oh.
Mercury.
Your admin assistant.
My admin assistant, yes. So he does writing and he's going to start doing math as well. So he does a lot of some of my stuff, but I like that idea that he can write a blog post or two.
Ruth had to jump off. She had a phone call that came in. Yes, Debbie.
Sherry, kudos to you for where you are today. And I was just sitting here thinking back 1 year ago, even 2 years ago, when you started on all these mastermind classes with us, and your book cover, your website, everything that you have done is so impressive to where now you are traveling across the country doing your talks. And did
And
you
getting paid, and she's getting paid.
yeah, and getting her paid. And did you ever think that?
That was a little getting a little bit concerning about the income taxes or the property taxes, you know.
Did you
I
ever
love it.
think you would be this way, this far by now?
I was hoping it would be a lot sooner than now,
Hey.
but it takes. What I'm finding out, and what is coming to pass, is it takes 10 years of problem solving to really get to the point where your business starts to take off.
Well, and they tell
Wow.
us statistically that any new business that you start, and again, when you're starting to write, if you're going to write and make money at it, or whatever you're teaching or whatever it is that you're doing, it takes 3 to 5 years for it to break even, for it to cover itself. And a lot of folks think that they're going to do it in 6 months, and then when they don't, they throw in the towel and say, well, that didn't work. And they just don't give it enough time. So you have to understand that it takes 3 to 5 years to break even. And you have to be able,
And that's after the 10 years of problem solving it through.
Oh, look at
They
Cherry.
forgot to
Maybe.
take, they forgot to add that part, that it's the 3 to 5 years after you're up and rolling. It takes 10 years to get everything really rolling.
Maybe not. Depends on how
Depends
involved you
on
want.
your on this kind of business. Yeah.
Yeah, because again, I've started several businesses, and so in about 4 years, I was at the break-even point. So I'm on the upswing after my 4 years now. So I'm in good shape. But again, it didn't happen in 6 months, you know. And a lot of people they throw in the towel way too soon. Sandy, any comments you'd like to make, or aha moments, or any wonderful advice that you'd like to give to our group?
The combining the website, what you do, your author and yourself as one is a good reminder for me. I've got a little bit of this over there and a little bit of that over there and quite a bit over here. Says I don't need to be three different people. I think I could be one person doing all these and kind of center it. I think I'm going to really look into that and how that would work better for me, because I have my own personal site that's probably ancient. It could sell on the Antique Roadshow. So it probably is time to say, okay, well, if you're not going over there, why not bring that one over here? Is there a way I could redesign it so it makes sense being over here, or something of that sort? So that got me thinking more about it and putting it down on paper, which always works for me as getting closer to achieving. So that's it.
That's why I like using my name as my main website.
Yes, me too.
And with your name, being very unique, it's going to be easy for somebody to find it.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
I agree, because oftentimes I want to refer someone and I know their name, but I can't remember what they've named their business. So I Google their name. And then when I can't find a connection between their name and their business name, I get a little frustrated because I'm like, ah, come on, I want to refer somebody over and I can't find you. Yeah. And so, but I remember their name, or I have their name in my contact list, but I don't always have their business name or their latest book or whatever, but I do have their name. So yes, yeah. Sherry, I agree. I do like that. Now, when I teach the Build a Better Business, and when I teach the blogging writing, and, you know, now that we're talking about, you know, creating a profile for ourselves, it's nice to step back a little bit and look at everything that you're doing and come up with a name for your business, if you want to have an actual name for your business, that encompasses everything that you're doing. And so mine is Freestyle Living. And because I talk about being entrepreneurial, I talk about passive income, I talk about having better health, I talk about our travels. And so everything that I'm talking about, whether I'm writing a book or teaching a course or putting together a blog post or doing a podcast, it's all about freestyle living, which is why my main message today is step back and decide how you want your life to look. You know, you may not want to have a speaking circuit. You may, you know, you may want to be out in the public, because that's where you get energized, is when you're in group mm-hmm. settings. That's when you really feel energized. You don't want to be that lonely person sitting at home in the back room, just writing your manuscript. You want to have that connection. So you have to decide what works best for your personality and where you want to go with it. And then don't be afraid to try some stuff, because some things, you know, you may think you don't like, and once you do it, you may realize you love it and that you want to do more of it. So so explore some invitations. Don't say no. Say, Mark and I, we like to say yes to everything. And then down the road, we might decide that that wasn't quite as much fun as we had hoped it was going to be. And we might not want to do it in the future. But we always say yes up front to new experiences. We always want to experience something new. And we've discovered a lot of great, fun things that we love to do because of that. So that's my encouragement today, is to think about what you want your life to look like, because you get to make it. You get to tailor this however you want it to look. And you get to be as busy or unbusy as you want to be. So anyone else? This has been a great conversation today. Okay, remember, you can go to either KathyBenner.com or the Kathy Benner International Academy. And we're all in the mastermind, and you'll find the course there. So if you want to go back through that material, it's all in. And if you want to go back and review the other material that we've already covered, because we've already gone in depth on choosing a publishing route and editing and critiquing, the titling, the book cover, the publisher ready description, the creating a book launch. We've already talked about all those things, and you can go back through, and in the mastermind you can play the replays, and in the course you can look at the actual material that we actually worked through during the actual call. So you can find all that material right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Mark your calendars, and we'll see everyone next time.
Yep. Take care. Have a good month.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye. Mm-hmm.